Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Matt from flipweekly.com. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast, a podcast all about reselling. We go to garage sales, op shops, thrift stores. We find things on Facebook Marketplace and we resell them online, hopefully for a profit. I hope everyone is doing well. I hope that you were able to find some stuff at garage sales on the weekend. I hope that the American tariffs haven't impacted your eBay business too much. I know I'm already canceling orders. I've self-excluded, or I guess excluded, America from my shipping list. It's insane that I can ship everywhere else now except for America and Puerto Rico. I was talking to the lady at the post office today about it, and she was like, you know, this is basically unprecedented. She hasn't heard of this happening before, at least for the amount of time she's worked at Australia Post. If you're not familiar with what is going on, Australia Post has cancelled all shipments to the United States because of the new tariffs that are going in, which has put the burden on collecting customs fees from the government onto these couriers, and they're not really set up for them. And I think at the moment, we're up to like 30 different countries that have suspended shipping to the US, which is crazy, man. Like, I couldn't imagine being in the US wanting to buy something overseas and being told like, oh no, we're not shipping to your country anymore. Like, what the fuck? Like, I know that if that was happening here in Australia, I wouldn't be going out and protesting, but I'd be complaining to friends and family, you know. But that's been going on, and you would have seen from the title of this podcast that we have a huge purchase this week. We spent a lot of money on something that doesn't look like it should be worth a lot, but I'm going to tell you all about that and the value of this item. And that wasn't really the only purchase that I made this week that is going to maybe make you laugh. I found something else on Marketplace. I was away for the weekend, and I was like, well, if I'm traveling 2 hours away out of Sydney, I might as well see if there's anything on the way that I can pick up to at least talk about, write about, make some money on. And I saw this item and I stopped, picked it up. It was out of the way. It was like 30 minutes off the freeway, 30 minutes back. I was exhausted at the end of it, but I'm glad that I picked it up. I also got some freebies from this guy too, but I'll talk about that. And man, there is something that I found in Vinny's this week that is going to make you cringe. I was cringing when I was buying it. I literally hid it between other items, hoping the person at the front wasn't going to see it and comment on it, because it was one of those things that just made me, as like a fucking old man, embarrassed to be buying. And all that and a hell of a lot more. So let's just get straight into it, right? So over the weekend, I saw something on Facebook Marketplace. It was listed as wrestling collectibles, right? It was listed at $200 on Marketplace, and I checked it out. I sort of like was going back and forth whether or not to dive in and buy this. You know, $200. I usually like to buy something for a dollar and sell it for $100. I don't want to outlay like $200. So I left it for a while, and I slept on it. And usually when I sleep on something, I'll forget about it. But if it's still within my mind, there's obviously a reason why that is. And I don't want to regret anything. So, you know, this is what happened. I was out. Picture like you're out in the morning, big greasy breakfast. You're with friends and family. Everyone's laughing. You might be a bit tipsy from the night before. And then, you know, I'm saying I have to drive 90 minutes away from the city to buy a sticker book. And wait, what? You're buying a sticker book for $150? I'm like, yeah. But it comes with stickers. And it's like, okay, it comes with stickers. What the fuck is this thing? And I'm like, okay, I found a Marketplace listing for $200, I was able to negotiate down to $150 for the sticker book and the stickers. Again, what the fuck? That's an insane amount of money to be spending on a sticker book. But look, here's what it is. Listed as wrestling collectibles, it said in the description, old school wrestling collectibles, sticker book and stickers, an unopened box and doubles, pick up fucking an hour and a half away from me in farm sort of area. And the reason why this caught my eye was because this is the exact same sticker book that I had as a kid, right? I wanted to complete this sticker book as a kid. I never did. It's from 1999. It's a WWF Attitude Official Sticker Collection. So inside this book, there's like profiles and bios of the WWF superstars at the time, you know, the old school wrestling people like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker. And I grew up as like a huge wrestling fan. Like my family didn't have pay TV in order to watch WWF. So we had like my auntie recording it on tape. And then, you know, the fucking every 6 months that I would see her, I'd get that tape and I'd watch like 6 month old wrestling, right? This was something that I loved. And when the news agency started selling this sticker book with the stickers, I was all in, right? I bought the sticker book and then every time I would save up, I think they're $1 a pack, I would go in and buy these stickers. They came in a pack of 10 and I would try and collect, I would try and complete this sticker book. So like I had a friend when I was a kid, I had a friend when I was a kid that was like my wrestling buddy, right? And both of us were saving money and spending it all on like these sticker packs. And at one point in time, like my friend who came from like a more wealthy family than mine, right? Like we had nothing, they had everything type thing. He ended up spending $50, which at the time was a lot of money, on an entire box of these wrestling stickers. So it had 100 packs within it and he spent $50. I think he must have got a deal because he was buying an entire box. And what do you know? He completed the entire book. So me wanting to like complete it myself, I went down to the news agents and I said, you know, I want to order in an entire box. I don't want to be buying individual packs. I want to buy the entire box. I'm like, I'm good for the money. I'm like a fucking young kid, but trust me, I'm good for the money. And this fucking news agent never ordered in the box. I never completed this sticker book. And I mean, at the time, huge, huge deal. Right now, I could not give a fuck. But when I saw this sticker book, there were certain aspects of it that reminded me of, you know, it brought up some of those memories as a kid. There's a cover of this, it has the Undertaker's giant fucking face. There's little stickers of Stone Cold and The Rock on the front of it. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh my God, this is so nostalgic for me. So the deal came with the original sticker book that was sort of like maybe 90% filled. It came with a whole host of doubles. So maybe 500 doubles of these stickers. So this person's obviously been opening packets, finding doubles and just keeping them in like this little Tupperware container. And then the thing that was amazing to find was the entire box of stickers unopened. This is 100 packs inside the original retail box, unopened, all in this deal. And I'm like, this is what I wanted as a kid. This is what made me jealous of my friend. Like, oh, poor, like, mum and dad, this, my friend has a completed sticker book. I can just imagine mum and dad being like, who gives a fuck, Matthew? It's a fucking sticker book. I mean, this unlocked childhood trauma. So I asked a few questions about it and I was sleeping on the decision. I didn't know whether or not I wanted to do this. I don't know if I wanted to spend $200. And a couple of days later, after it had been in my mind for like 2 or 3 days, which is a long time when it comes to Facebook Marketplace. If there's a good deal on Facebook Marketplace, it's usually gone within that time. Maybe subconsciously, I was like, you shouldn't be buying this, Matt. But, you know, it was still there after a few days and the weekend was coming around. I'm like, look, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to fucking pull the trigger. And I sent him a message saying, would you take $150 for your sticker book and stickers? And of course, he came back and said, yeah, I'll do that. Here I am thinking, I should have lowballed even more. I should have offered $100. So yeah, I was surprised that nobody had bought it. I mean, these are a full box of stickers from 99 and just, I guess there was no wrestling fans looking at this or they saw like wrestling collectibles and $200, thought there was no money to be made, or because this guy lived in the middle of fucking nowhere, there was just no one willing to pick it up. one of the reasons why I pulled the trigger on this sticker book, not just because I had it as a kid and I don't know, wanted to heal myself, maybe this would make me feel better, is because when I did a reversed image search on this book, there was a post from a wrestling fan page called Wrestling Spot. They had a photo of the sticker book and the caption read, "Probably the rarest wrestling sticker album out there, the WWF Attitude 1999 Hot Shots sticker album. It only took 4 years to find one." Now, when I'm looking up comps and when I'm looking up information about an item that I'm wanting to buy, I don't just use eBay. I don't just look at active listings, sold listings, and if there's none there, I don't just assume that it's not wanted. I'm all over social media. I'm Googling it. I'm looking at old forums, and I'm wanting to know if people are talking about an item, if they're saying like, "Oh, I've wanted this forever, but I can't afford it." You know, it's exactly what happened with the Abe's Odyssey book last week, where we sold it for $500. I found the book. I looked it up on eBay, and then I jumped onto social media, Reddit, and there's all this conversation about it. So I wanted to do the same for this sticker book. I wanted to see what people were saying, and for somebody to come out and say the rarest sticker album out there and it took them 4 years to find one, I'm thinking, I mean, I can't give this up, right? So I jump onto eBay and I check out the comps for this sticker book. This is before I've gone out and picked it up, by the way. I haven't gone out without checking out comps. I've looked on eBay. There are no active listings for the sticker book, but when I'm looking at sold listings, there is one, and that sold listing was for $600. It sold in July of this year, so it wasn't that long ago. It sold just the sticker book for $600, which is absolute insanity for a fucking sticker book. Now, the sticker book hasn't sold, so I have it in front of me right here. But let me just talk a bit more about the book. It has the original price tag at the top left. It has the old WWF logo, and it was sold at the time for $2.95. There's, you know, old school fonts on this. It has the copyright date, 1999. It has some of the old Attitude Era wrestling photos on the front. Like I said, The Rock, Austin, Undertaker. It has Mankind, Kane, The Big Show. If you don't know wrestling, these are, you know, superstars at the time. And when you open it up, there is maybe like 45 pages. And some of the bigger wrestlers had like double page spreads. Like Stone Cold has, I think he has 4 pages. I'm just checking it. No, he has 3 pages. It has like a basic bio, like his height, his weight, his favorite move. And then there's places to put the stickers. So this particular book has one sticker missing on the Stone Cold page. And then it has like a couple of quotes from him, like, "And that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so." Each sticker seems to have a caption underneath it. I write captions all the time for flipweekly.com. They get so fucking annoying to write because you don't want to be writing what you're going to be saying directly after it. So you're just saying like the most boring shit. And it's the exact same thing with these captions underneath the stickers. Like, it's like there's a photo of Stone Cold doing his finishing move, which is the Stone Cold Stunner, and it just says underneath it in the caption, "Another stunner." Like, that's it. They're just so bland, these captions. So we have Stone Cold, we have The Rock. It's The Rock when he had hair, and he has a couple of quotes underneath it too. One thing that I do like about this book, besides all of the bios, is it has like advertisements from back in the day, like advertisements from 1999 where they're talking about the Nintendo 64 game, like the WWF Attitude Nintendo 64. And there's a competition where you can win a trip for two to Las Vegas, witness all the action of WWF wrestling live. You know, it's just a bit of a trip back in time. And seeing like advertisements for Nintendo 64 games, it has some of the graphics from the game too. It just looks really fucking cool. And it also says something that I wouldn't have liked as a kid. It said, "Watch WWF on Foxtel," which is pay TV. And we didn't have that, so I couldn't do that. I had to resort to going around to friends' places or getting those those pirated tapes off my auntie 6 months later. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool fucking book. I went through it all, and It brought back memories. I would not personally pay $600 for this book. I know that I wanted it as a kid complete, but I don't want it that much, right? Now, the other thing that came with this deal was the unopened box of 100 packs. So the packs, when I say unopened box of 100 packs, the box technically does open because it's the retail box. It's like the display box. You can open up the top and see all of the packs inside of it. It's not like factory sealed. It's the original retail. We don't have any sold comps for this box of stickers. I think because it is that rare. I checked out Worthpoint. I checked all around the internet to see if there might have been some beyond the eBay 90 days. No, I honestly couldn't find anything. But what I could find was one active listing. The active listing did have people watching it. There was sold listings for individual stickers from this sticker book. Not many, but enough there to indicate that people are still trying to collect this sort of memorabilia or finish the book. So the active listing for an unopened box of 100 packs was up for $900 Australian. Now remember, my wrestling buddy bought this for $50 back in the day, and now it's selling for $900, or at least somebody has asked $900 for this book. So we have a $600 comp for the sticker book, active at a sold listing $600 comp for the book. We have a $900 comp for the sticker box. And that doesn't even take into account the fact that we have over 500 of the original stickers that were doubles that this person that I bought it from has just kept in a Tupperware container. Just to talk about the doubles for a second, you can sell these as 10 packs. You know, they're all open. You can sell some of the rares. There's one of the Stone Cold logos that has a sold comp for $20 just for the one sticker. Now, all of those 500 doubles that I have, they're not all rares, but I'm sure you could put together lots of like 20 or 50 or even like lots of 100 to get rid of them faster for, I don't know, $50 to $100 if you really wanted to. So overall, this is honestly an amazing deal. We just have to find the right buyer, because people don't come along every single day with $600 wanting to be spent on a fucking sticker book, right? So yeah, I offered the dude $150. He took it. I drove out there an hour and a half each way almost. And I mean, I wanted this over 20 years ago and I now have it. I asked my mom and my sister if they remembered this, and just like me, they were like, oh, I think I do. And for me, the photo of Stone Cold on the front is what I remember the most. And for mom and Sam, they were both like similar, where she's like, oh, I don't know about the front, but I definitely remember the photo of the Rock on the back. Just little things were coming back to us, you know. So I went through each page. Each of the stickers were like opening up old childhood trauma, old childhood memories, and I took photos, and I was just like, I was looking at it for a good amount of time, and I'm thinking like, do I keep it for myself? Do I put it on display? Do I maybe open up some packs and like relive my childhood, right? Do I send through a photo to my childhood wrestling buddy in like an attempt to reconnect? Nah, we're not doing that. We're taking some photos. We're listing this shit on eBay. So with the US market off the table, like I said earlier, we can't ship to the US. The US isn't going to be buying from us. I have to decide on a price. Wrestling or WWE, WWF is obviously the biggest in America. We can't sell there. So what do we do? What do we do? We lot this all together and we're going to attempt to sell this $150 sticker book and sticker bundle on eBay for $1,000. And you know what? I haven't sold it yet, but it's 100% going to happen. We're going to turn $150 into $1,000 from a fucking sticker book. A whole bunch of stickers, a whole bunch of fucking doubles, and a sticker book. It's crazy. It's honestly crazy. And again, when I went out there and spoke to the guy, he was like, it's just collecting dust. I'm glad it's going to go to somebody that's going to appreciate it. And I'm just thinking like, oh, he thinks that's me. I'm like thinking the same thing. Like, oh no, I'm definitely going to be giving this to someone who appreciates it. I mean, if you're going to be spending $1,000 on a wrestling book, you're going to be appreciating that fucking thing. But yeah, if you can't find anything on eBay for, you know, an item that you find, jump onto social media. See if anyone's talking about it. You need to validate your item, really. And for me, when I'm making decisions on whether or not to purchase something, I'm 100% doing that. Like when I saw that one person talk about this being the rarest sticker book and it took him 4 years to find one, I just have to think, and I just sort of got to hope that it wasn't just this guy. There might be someone else out there that's been searching for this. So that's what I've done. Everything's bundled together. You know, there was that one active listing for $900 for the full pack of stickers. For me to undercut with not only the stickers, but the doubles and the sticker book, I surely would sell before that $900 listing. So I'm happy with that price. I could have separated them all, and I might have been able to get like double that, but it might have taken more time. You know, I don't want to be waiting around forever, and I'd be happy to get like a $1,000 return from this sticker book. Now, this next item that I found, it wasn't on Marketplace. It was in a thrift store. And if you're in the media section of like an op shop, this next type of DVD, it should excite you, but it should not excite you in the way it's going to excite some people. So whenever I see a DVD in a thrift store that looks really, really Japanese, for me, it's equaled like a decent payday. So if it's Japanese and animation, that to me equals gold. And if, I mean, this is going to sound so fucked up, but if it sort of combines that and like scantily clad anime, that seems to do really well. I don't personally understand it, and it embarrasses the fuck out of me. But if you're wanting to make money, that for me in the past has made money. So in this case, we have four DVDs. It's of a television show or a television series in Japan called To Love Rue. And to be honest, that looks like a kid's animation, but it's rated MA 15+. And that's an Australian rating, and that's like being on the verge of being restricted to people that are over 18 years old. Like, what the fuck is this? Is it really graphic? Is it really violent? Is there like a whole shit ton of swearing in it? No, it's not because of gore. It's not because of violence. It's because of something called ecchi. And look, this is embarrassing for me to talk about, so you need to bear with me. I looked up and I did some research on this sort of thing, this sort of DVD, this sort of television show, because I wanted to know what the fuck the deal is. And this term ecchi, it refers, this is thanks to Google, it refers to a subgenre of Japanese media like anime and manga that features suggestive, playful sexual themes and imagery without explicit nudity or graphic content. So it's getting a bit weird, I know that. I admit I was embarrassed picking these up. I'm glad I didn't do a deeper dive then and there, because it goes on, right? So the reason this is rated so high, not high in terms of people really liking it, but high in terms of, you know, if you're a kid, you shouldn't be watching this. Okay, there's three things here. It says frequent accidental nudity. Characters often end up in compromising positions. Accidental nudity, what the fuck? The second one is many episodes include lingerie shots, cleavage focus, skimpy outfits, and innuendo. So this is getting a bit weirder, but the third thing makes it a fucking weird home run. Suggestive situations involving bathing scenes, wardrobe malfunctions, and alien inventions causing perverted mishaps. So it's not for kids. Now, I don't want to judge too harshly, but what in the ever-loving fuck is alien inventions causing perverted mishaps? What in the fuck is that? You're telling me there's some sort of like alien invasion and they don't take over the cities, but they instead like walk in on you in the shower and just like hijinks ensue? Like what the fuck does that mean? I'm so confused. It's fucking weird, right? Alien inventions causing perverted mishaps. I don't understand it. You know, there's like that running joke about like Japanese tentacle porn. Is this sort of like that, but it doesn't go the full way? I honestly don't understand. And I've looked at the covers of this, and it just looks really embarrassing. And I have to tell you, when I was there, I picked up a couple other DVDs and put a DVD on top of this bundle and a DVD below this bundle, making sure that they're the exact same price so that I wasn't walking around with these fucking things. And when I got to the checkout, I was like, oh yeah, there's 8 DVDs. They're all $3 each. And I'm just hoping and praying that this person doesn't go through them each and be like, oh, what's this one? Oh, what's this one? And I think I might have died from embarrassment if that would have happened. Thankfully, it didn't. They were all $3. And yeah, the total listed value ended up being $180. So $180 for 5 of these little Japanese anime weird fucking things. If you look on the Flip Weekly newsletter and you look at the spine of these DVDs, they all feature like a anime girl, and they usually use a font type that isn't commonly used here in Australia. So when they're in a DVD rack, they're easy to spot, and especially if they're like a volume or a season, you can see the numbering on it. So check those out on Flip Weekly. And if you see them in the wild, they're always worth checking out, looking up comps for. But yeah, make sure you look them up, but don't look too hard, because you don't want to know too much about this shit, because you might have like a moral dilemma. Do I want to be selling this? Now, I do not want you to face palm yourself. Yeah, I don't want you to face palm yourself, because I've gotten myself into something here. I was going away for the weekend, and on the route there, I was checking out if there was like any good marketplace listings that I can stop in pick up. You know, why not? Let's see what's outside of Sydney. And I found one listing. Now, please don't facepalm too hard. The listing was called Old Sony Walkman Not Working. It was listed for $15. And you know, I repaired a Sony Walkman last week and sold it the next day for $100. So all of a sudden I'm thinking that I'm a fucking like repair technician and I can repair any sort of Sony Walkman. So this may actually humble me. The listing description indicated that like the motor was running, but the tape doesn't play. And I'm thinking like, oh, it must be the belt. Like, that's the only thing I've ever repaired. So I've thought to myself, oh, it must be the belt. I'll buy the belt on eBay. I'll replace the belt. It was easy enough to repair and I'll get this working again. No problem. You know, I have a vast experience in this type of shit. So that's easy enough. So I looked up what it would sell for. Now, I'll tell you the comps and I'll tell you exactly why. So for parts and repair, this sells every day for around $120. That includes auction and bid. Now, if it's working, I can get close to $500 if I add on my Australia tax. There are sold comps for $440, $420 all overseas. And I legitimately think if I can repair this Sony Walkman, I can sell it for $500. Now, you'll remember last week, I sold one for $100. What is the difference between that one, which was a Sony Walkman, and this one? Like, why is there such a difference in price? What makes it so valuable? And the answer is because of collectors. See, this is a Sony Walkman WM2. Now, you might be thinking, what does WM2 stand for? Well, it stands for Walkman 2. This was Sony's second ever Sony Walkman that they created back in 1981. Now, technically, it is the first of the Walkman name. It's technically the very first Sony Walkman, because the first one that was created by Sony didn't go by the Walkman name. It went by TPS-L2. I don't know what that means. I've looked it up. People on subreddits, they don't really know what it means. They've gone through, you know, old manuals and archives of Sony, you know, information, and they don't know, but they might... They're guessing like it could stand for like tape player, something like that. You know how tech companies assign random names and digits and numbers to certain models. The first one was called TPS-L2, and then once they created that at the time was the world's first portable stereo, and then they created this new and improved one, the WM2, and it was improved with like a sleeker, smaller design. And because of that, it was the best selling cassette Walkman of all time. It sold about 1.5 million units. Now, the one that I found that I paid $15 for. It was like this metallic gray. And that was the first color that was offered for this specific unit. They also made it in a black and a red. So you can get different amounts of money depending on which variation you have. But really, what we have here, it's like a historically significant piece of portable media. And you know I love my portable media. So this could be a good display piece. It's something that I would love to have. I have it right here. It cost me $15. It looks great. Like this thing, it's small, it's sleek, it has that metallic gray. You know, all of the buttons seemingly work. And back in the day, man, this thing had two inputs for headphones. So you can chuck in your favorite cassette and two people can chuck in headphones and you'll be able to listen to it at the same time. If you check out the Flip Weekly newsletter, you'll be able to see, like, it even has like this really sleek volume button. It's like full metal, like it's smooth to scroll across with it, and really it's really well designed. Not only that, it would not have been fucking cheap to make. You know, there's barely any plastic on this thing. There's intricate parts online. There's intricate parts inside. Like, I've looked on YouTube, like, how to replace certain things, and inside of this, man, it just looks so well made. No wonder that it's selling for close to $500. Now, the thing is, I haven't taken it apart yet to see what's wrong with it. You know, if I open this up, I'm not going to be able to, like, tell straight away what's wrong with it. It's going to be a process of elimination, right? Like, but that's the thing. I'm a gambling man. I paid $15 for it. And if we can sell it for over $500, it gives me room. It gives me some wiggle room. You know, like, if I buy a new belt for it, you can get the belt on eBay delivered, free shipping, for $11.87. And, you know, if I install that and it doesn't work, I'll look up online to see another common problem. And you can buy those parts too on eBay. So I might just look and see what the second most purchased part is. And then I'll just buy that and replace it and see if that works. Like, yes, okay, let's get the new belt. $11, doesn't work. Let's move on to the pinch roller, $21. Let's move on to the center gear repair kit, $68. Do I have any idea what the last two actually are or what they do? No, I have no fucking idea. But really, it can't be that hard. It's 2025. We have, like, unlimited access to information in the palm of our hands. We have helpful communities online on the internet. And then we add in, like, some general curiosity, some motivation to turn $15 into $500. And we're going to do it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We're going to fucking do this. We're going to turn this cassette player from a non-working cassette player into a working one. That's just what we're going to do. And, you know, I don't care if I need to buy these new items. I mean, $15 into $500, even if we buy all three of those new parts, it doesn't even equal up to, like, $100 of cost of goods. So it would be $100 into $500. Like, we don't want to be doing that all the time, but, I mean, it's still a good deal. And when I was out there, the guy was like, I have two others that aren't working. Do you want those too? I was like, how much do you want? And he's like, oh, you can take them for free. I was like, all right, give them to me. So there was another two that he gave to me, another Sony Walkman and a Panasonic one. One's an LED screen. So, you know, I think that's a bit of a step up from the non-LED screen ones. But, you know, I think that would involve soldering, right? But they will be the ones that I work on afterwards. They can even be sold for parts for about $50 each. But I want to work on this. And if I can get this fixed, you know what? I'm going to advocate for every single person listening, every single person that reads on Flip Weekly, to buy it and attempt it yourself. This can be a great starting point. I know nothing about repairing things. Honestly, I don't. I cannot think of anything I've ever repaired in my life. Like, no holes in the wall, no relationships, no fucking pair of shoes, nothing. I think the only thing I've repaired in my life is last week's Sony Walkman. So if I can do this, I'll have 100% success rate, and I'll advocate for everyone to do it. And if I can do it, you can do it. If I can make some money with this, you can make some money with this. And look, we can make some money together. We'll fucking be the bastions of repairing Walkmans for everyone. So they're the three most valuable things that I bought this week. You can see photos on the Flip Weekly newsletter. You can check out all the photos of the wrestling book, the stickers. If you're a wrestling fan, you can get a bit of nostalgia with that. If you want to get excited about Japanese anime DVDs, check out those photos. And if you want to see how fucking cool this Sony Walkman looks, check out those listing. Check out the newsletter, and you can just see what a perfectly designed cassette player unit looks like. Let's move on to what I sold this week, and what have we got? What have we got to start? A couple of weeks ago, I risked my life, sort of, accepted a stranger's invitation to go into their home. I'm glad that I did, because I walked away with like a huge bundle of video games, toys, sealed Lego, and something has sold this week. I survived the trip inside, and the collection that I got was the Ben 10 figures and cards. I spent $30 on it. It received so much attention on eBay. It was actually bought on eBay by somebody in America, and I had to tell them, I can't send it to you because your government has gone crazy. So it was on Marketplace for $100. Somebody bought it. I shipped it off to them. That's out the door. But look, I'm 100% on board for buying like Ben 10 shit. Action figures, plush toys. The box set on DVDs, they can do all right. They sell high and they sell fast. And, you know, despite being released like close to 20 years ago, I don't think people have really caught up on that it was like a very limited series. I think it ran for like 4 years, and yet it's still so popular, and you can get lucky with it at thrift stores and garage sales. I find it all the time. I usually leave it behind unless it's a big lot, but yeah, if you can find a plush toy of Ben 10, you can get a lot of money for it. So that was sold. We've still got a few more items from that Facebook Marketplace deal to go. But one of the other things that sold from that deal this week was a huge bundle of video games that I lotted up together. The games didn't add up to much individually. They might have been like $15 to $20. So it's just basically like a junky sort of eBay deal. You know, it's like the wrestling games. There's like the iToy games, that sort of stuff. They don't sell for much, so I'm like, whatever. I chucked them up for $80 on eBay and they sold. They had a lot of interest from people, and a lot of resellers talk about doing these little bundles, and I guess that's because they sell quick. And I don't know what people do with them, if they sell them on like at flea markets or in their retail stores, chuck up like a huge markup on these items. But yeah, $80 for 15 games. So yeah, it's whatever. I got some of that big junk out the door. Like, I didn't want to pick them up really, but the guy was like, I don't want to be left with just like one or two games that I can't play anymore. So that's when I took them all, and I can't really complain, because like one of those games, fucking the Harry Potter collection, is worth what I paid for pretty much everything. So yeah, if you missed that episode, go back I think 2 weeks and you can see and hear about everything that I was able to find that day. It was like, I think it was like $1,000 worth of games and like $1,000 worth of Lego just in one piece. There was a lot. And I went out there just for a $30 Monster in My Pocket bundle, which again hasn't sold. It's got a ton of interest, a lot of people watching it, but no one has pulled the trigger yet. I don't know if there are people in the US, if there are people in Australia, but I would like that to sell because that's what I originally went out there for. I want that sort of validation that it was going to be a good reason to drive all that way out for a Monster in My Pocket bundle. But yeah, the next thing that sold was, I've talked about last week, and it sold within a week, and it was Outrageous Fortune on DVD. Somebody told me I should watch it before it sells. I guess they knew it was going to sell quick, because I bought it for $6 and it sold for $109.95. Now, this is a New Zealand-based television show, and I described it as a bogan Home and Away. Now, I watched a 3-minute clip and that's what I came away with, but thanks to a listener of this podcast, I was swiftly corrected, and Tracy on YouTube has said that Outrageous Fortune is to Home and Away like a Michelin star restaurant is to Macca's. Superbly clever written, amazing acting, and still outrageous 15 years later. So I mean, I was wrong. I sincerely apologize for miscategorizing Outrageous Fortune. If that sounds like a better show to you, then check it out. I won't be, because it's out the door and I don't want to pirate anything. So yeah, good DVD to keep an eye out for. If you see it, you can get over $100 for it. And something that you can get over $100 for, over $200 for, is a cute Furby. I found this Furby baby on Marketplace not that long ago. Found it for $30 and it sold for $200. It paid off in just 30 days. Like, we had this really cute pink and white Furby baby, fully boxed and fully sold on eBay for full price. That was a really cool find. I talked about it on the podcast not that long ago. The whole bunch of Furbish language that we went through too. You just need to remember that not all Furbies, they're created equal, because there's unusual color combination, there's like boxed or unboxed, there's like manufacturing dates. They're all going to play a part in whether or not it sells for like $50 or $200 or even more, I guess. They're still making Furbies to this day. I think you can buy them in supermarkets and department stores now. So you just need to know that the newer ones, they're probably not going to be selling for as much as these older ones. But if you find them on Marketplace in the box and you can find them for like $30, like I paid for this, chuck them on eBay for $200 and you'll be able to sell them. Now, I mentioned earlier about, you know, like Japanese anime sort of manga, the more Japanese it looks, the more money you can potentially get. Well, this sort of applies to not so much like the ecchi stuff, you know, that playful, suggestive shit. This is like graphic illustrations. If I see graphic illustrations on a Blu-ray or a DVD, I'm going to want to comp the item. And that's what I did for this one. It was called Berserk on Blu-ray. It was the complete 1997 television series. And that sold for $90 and I bought it for $5. It sells every day on eBay for like close to $100. So it's going to be worth looking it up. So it's sort of like if you're thinking about Japanese or like Japanese anime manga, this is like on the opposite end where it doesn't look playful or suggestive. It looks like it's going to be like really violent. That is, yeah, those two sort of things are always worth buying. I don't know why they're always valuable here in Australia. Maybe because we live on a fucking rock and nobody likes to buy anything from overseas and bring it over here. So maybe this is like rare to find here, not so much like in Japan, but rare for anyone to be like paying to ship something from Japan to Australia because it's going to cost a fuck ton of money. Yeah, that sold for $90. And again, like anything that looks Japanese, check it out. Like, I think that's a poor way to phrase it. But like, if it looks Japanese, if it looks like anime, manga, anything like graphic design-y, not graphic design-y, graphic illustrated-y, I don't know, fuck it. Just check out the photos. If it looks anything like this sort of shit, buy it. Now, ironically, I sold another wrestling thing this week. It was a wrestling DVD. The person bought it from the UK and they spent more in shipping and postage than they did on the actual item. The item sold for $49.95 and they spent $51 on postage and VAT. Wrestling DVDs, if they're a bit unusual, not like the norm, they can sell for a decent chunk of money. This one was called Wrestling All-Stars from 2002, and I think just because it was like an independent circuit or it was like a wrestling company that wasn't the mainstream WWF, WWE, maybe the person is a collector and they wanted this for their collection. I don't really know, but that sold. The total order value, obviously $101, something like that. It keeps my average order value high, and that's what I want. I want to be able to sell things for over $100. Now, I had a couple other sales this week, but they're really not worth the time to talk too much about or even write about in the Flip Weekly newsletter. Some people came and picked up like some of the smaller TMNT figures that I found a couple of weeks ago. It's always great having people come and leave money for me. I tell them to put it in my freezer and then I get to go downstairs, open up my freezer and act as if my freezer is spitting money out or just like generating money like it's a magic freezer. That's always fun. But yeah, I think that's about it in terms of sales for this week. I know a lot of people online have been talking about slow sales dates and I've had people message me talking about their sales. Like, is everyone else's sales going slow? But I think if your sales are going slow, it's not like a worldwide trend. I think it's just what is happening to you at that point in time. You know, if you put up something that is wanted by many people, it's just going to sell. I've had people ask me, they've done like X and Y on their store. Is eBay punishing me for it? And it's like, no, eBay's not punishing you for it. They're in the business of selling things. Why would they restrict your views? It's all just like sort of like conspiratorial type bullshit. It's not a thing. I don't believe it's a thing anyway. And if somebody says that it is, I'd love to see some hard data about it. If you're not getting sales right now, you're just not getting sales. That's it. It could be your prices aren't competitive enough. It could be your photos suck, your description sucks. It could be anything that you have done. What it isn't is eBay hiding your listings. It's not eBay purposely keeping sales away from you. They're in the business of making money. They make money when your shit sells. They're not going against themselves. So if you're having slow sales, maybe check out your listings and see if you can improve them, see if your pricing is still accurate, and also check to see if the item you're selling is even like wanted by people. Check if there's any sort of sell-through rate. Like if you're complaining you don't have any sales and all you're selling are Bruce Almighty DVDs, like put two and two together. Nobody wants that shit, so it's not going to be selling. It's not eBay like on this vendetta against Jim Carrey, right? So, you know, sales for me, they're not that great at the moment. I think I usually average about $4,000 a month on eBay. Let me just check that. Yeah, I average usually around $4,000 a month on eBay. That's what I've noticed I usually cap out at. You know, I'm not doing this full time. I'm not, you know, selling items that are going to be bread and butter type shit. I want to be finding the unique and rare sort of interesting stuff. You know, it's not going to be driving a ton of sales. So yeah, I average about $4,000. It just looks like on my sales compared to last month are down 0.8%. So I can't complain about that. It feels like they're down, but it's just, I don't know, it's just feelings, right? We have data here in front of us. Our feelings don't fucking matter if our data just says it's down 0.8%. Like, and at the same time, if you're selling shit like the stuff that I sell where nobody actually needs it, these are all wants, then I don't know, maybe the economy can have some sort of impact on your sales. Like if everyone goes to war tomorrow and there's a huge fucking crisis all over the world, will somebody be spending over $1,000 on a sticker book? Probably not. So then you might be able to say that, you know, outside economic conditions are affecting your sales. If that doesn't happen, then it's just whatever. It's just whatever. It's just chill out. The sales are whatever. The sales, yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. Just stop complaining about your sales and trying to get validation from everyone else. Like, if you say your sales are down and you ask one other person, they're like, yeah, my sales are down too. It's not some grand fucking conspiracy. It's just that that person and you have poor sales for whatever reason. Look inwards. Look inwards. Stop blaming things that outside. I don't know. Whenever I see a thread on Reddit and it's asking other people, are your sales down? It doesn't mean anything if every single person replies saying, yes, my sales are down. It doesn't mean anything. It's nothing. It just means that you and these people have poor sales. Like, anyway, let's move on. I think we're going to move on. And we're going to move on to secondhand opinions. And last week I asked you a question. I said, what should we do about kids in thrift stores making a mess of the toy section? And it was a close one this week. Really, really close. We had Banishment win with 56%. So Banishment has just beaten out Exile. But, I mean, you people are fucking brutal. 56% of people want kids banished from thrift stores for simply playing with toys. Like, come on. They're just kids. They don't know what they're doing. Like, don't you have kids? Don't you have nieces or nephews? Like, this attitude is absolutely fucking disgusting. This week's topic, we're going to be talking about, like, it's affecting me a bit. It's how badly will the suspension of shipments to the USA affect your business? We've talked briefly about this. We're like 1 week in, Australia Post suspending all those commercial shipments to the US. I have mentioned earlier, I've canceled some orders. I've excluded America from my outgoing shipments, which is absolutely crazy. I can post everywhere else but America. And I worked out last week that halting those sales to America will cost me about $8,000 a year in sales, which is a lot of money, but at the same time, I'm sure they'll just go somewhere else. And, you know, reading around the internet, that sort of pain is extended to a lot of other small businesses and eBay sellers. So some have said that it's going to cost staff. Some have said that it's going to like ruin their entire business. But I would love to know from, you know, listeners to the podcast, what about you? Are you scared or worried about your sales just because of the shipments being cut off to the US? I have four answers on the poll, and they are: I don't think my business will survive. My business will be affected, but will survive. I don't sell much to the USA, or it won't affect me at all. If I had to vote on this poll, I would say my business will be affected, but will survive. You know, $8,000 a year gone, that works out to, what's 8 divided by 52? Shall we do the math real quick and see what that works out to? How much is that going to cost me per week? $153 a week. Now, I mean, it's fine. It's not like it's not a huge chunk of change every single week. Yes, I would love an extra $8,000 a year, but we're just going to have to wait and see what happens with these tariffs. Like, I honestly, without getting to politics, I do not think they're going to last forever. I think that it's going to take a few months for the full effect to be felt in the US, and once people start feeling the effect, you know, it will be an increase in the costs of importing to the US, and it'll also be the restriction of items that the population of the US will be able to bring in. I think once those two things are felt, then the administration might switch things up. Maybe they'll bring in that de minimis or whatever the fuck it's called back in, where those items worth under a certain amount of money will be excluded from the tariffs. Maybe, like I said last week, Anthony Albanese within Australia will gift a private jet to the administration in the US and will get excluded from the tariffs. I don't know what will happen, but I don't think it's going to last forever. I really don't. I don't think it's sustainable. Just for like 30 countries to not be shipping to the US right now, like, it's going to be felt. And once that's felt, something will change. I don't think it's going to last forever. So if you're an Australian business dealing with this, I would say just try and hold out. Just try and hold out, especially if you think you might not make it. Try and hold out. You know, when businesses were starting to close during COVID, and, you know, the service-based businesses where they needed people to come in, they pivoted a bit. You know, they were doing delivery. They were just like opening up different product lines, just being a bit creative. I think that's what some businesses here need to do just to survive this. If you think you're going to struggle, I know it's a tall order and it's a tough thing to ask of people, but just try and get through it. And I think you just have to outlast. Some things in the US. Now that's all I've got for you this week. Make sure you check out Flip Weekly on social media, on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. Jump onto flipweekly.com for the newsletter where you can see all the photos of things that have sold this week, things that I bought this week. And yeah, I'll see you again next week.
Flip, 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 fl